Good morning. Welcome. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ, and we want to thank you for tuning in this morning. We hope you'll become a regular listener. In the past few weeks, we have been examining foundations of our faith. Today, we come to the last. Thus far, we have looked at God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the Bible. Today, we want to conclude this foundation series by looking at the last, the church. Christ came on this earth for many reasons. Of course, to do his Father's will, according to Matthew 26, verse 42, seek and save the lost, according to Luke 19 and verse 10, and to give men a glimpse of God and his character, according to John 14, verse 9. He also came to prepare men for the work which must be accomplished after his departure. We can read that in Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. And of course, he came to give his life upon the cross and to shed his blood as a remedy for sin, according to Romans 5, verse 6 through 8. Yet there is another reason why he came, and that is for another foundation of our faith, the establishment and the preparation of the Lord's church. According to Acts 20 and verse 28, that church was purchased with his own blood. Now, did he come to accomplish all churches and to establish all churches? According to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, the Bible says, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus. He told Peter that he would build that church in Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 18 and 19. You'll notice the Bible says, singular, his church, one church. In this lesson, we want to show the fundamental differences between the church he built and the ones which men have built. It is very important to know the time and the place where the church began. Why is this so important? If Jesus died for it, that makes it very important. If it was the eternal purpose from the beginning, then we must make sure that we're a member of his church. Some of men's theories have the church beginning in the days of Abraham, when the gospel was preached to him in Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 8. But it did not start in his days. Some think in the days of John the Baptist. If this be so, even John himself didn't know it, according to his own words in John chapter 1, verse 19 through 23, and later on in chapter 3 and verse 30, he made the statement, I must decrease, he must increase. Men teach today that the kingdom has not even yet been established, but yet passages like Mark 9 verse 1 that say that those who lived in the days of Jesus in that generation would not taste death till they saw the kingdom come with power. And in Colossians 1 verse 13, the Apostle Paul told the church of Colossae that they had been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. And John, the Apostle John, the writer of the book of Revelation, said in Revelation 1 verse 9 that he was their companion in the kingdom. So all these passages teach that the kingdom has already come. All these theories that men have fall short concerning what the Bible says concerning the truth about the church. What does it say? Well, first of all, the church was foreshadowed in the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 through 4, we are told that it would come in the last days. We are told that it would begin in Jerusalem. And we were told that it would be unlike earthly kingdoms. And in Daniel chapter 2, and verse 44, we're told that it will come in the time period of the Roman kings, and it would come in those days, and it would be greater, and would be established, and would never be destroyed. In Joel chapter 2, verse 28 through 32, the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all flesh, and that that would begin in Jerusalem. In Isaiah chapter 62, verse 2, we find out the Gentiles will be part of this kingdom, and they will be called by a new name. In Jesus' own words in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, and John the Baptist, we read that the kingdom is near. Please read Matthew 3, 1 and 2, and Matthew 4, 17 for the words of Jesus himself. We're told in Mark's account, in Mark 1, verse 14 and 15, is at hand. Again, in Matthew 16, Jesus promised to build it. That means some future time. And as we already made reference to in Mark 9, 1, some would come in the light, some who heard the teachings of Jesus would live long enough to see the kingdom come. And we're told in Acts 1, verse 6, the last instruction given to the apostles prior to his ascension back to the Father, that they're told to wait in Jerusalem till they receive power from on high, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Now, all that was foreshadowed. But what about the facts? When did it come into existence? Well, according to Luke chapter 2 and verse 1, on the day of Pentecost, it's the right time period because it's the Roman Empire. That fits Daniel's prophecy. It started in Jerusalem, according to Luke's account, in Luke chapter 24, 46 through 49, and again in Acts chapter 1 and verse 12, and we see that they're gathered in Jerusalem in Acts 2, verse 1 and 5. That fits the prophecy of Isaiah. And what were 3,000 added to that day? According to Acts 2, verse 41 and 47, they were immediately added to the church by the Lord. What was the time period? According to Peter's sermon himself, it was the last days in Acts 2, 17 through 21. That's a fulfillment of Joel chapter 2, verse 28 through 32. It came with power. That's what Acts 2, 1 through 4 says, and that's a fulfillment of Mark 9, verse 1. The church was persecuted in Acts 8 and verse 1 by one Saul of Tarsus. That also is a fulfillment of prophecy. Who paid for the church? Who does it belong to? What name do his children wear? Christians. Read Acts 11:16, Acts 26:28, and 1 Peter 4, verse 16. Do we read any other name other than Christian? Not that I can find. Who's the head of this church? Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23. How many churches are there? According to Ephesians 4, 4 through 6, there is one body. That body is the church, according to Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23. Now, do the members of the church join it? No, they don't join. They're added, according to Acts 2, 47. What led them to Christ? According to 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 14, what led them to Christ and to become a member of His church is the gospel. What is God's power to save men? According to the Apostle Paul in Romans 1, verse 16, it is the gospel of Christ. And according to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, we're all baptized into that one body. And according to James chapter 1, verse 21, the engrafted word is able to save our soul. Do members of the church revise and update their teaching? Not according to 1 Peter 4, verse 11, we're to speak the oracles of God. That means the sayings of God. We're to do all things by His authority, according to Colossians 3 and verse 17. And according to the words of Jesus Himself in Matthew the 15th chapter, in verse 8 and 9, that the doctrines of men or the teachings of men can make our worship vain, useless and unprofitable, and not acceptable to God. So we see that the church was designed, built, the head, and organized, and the work, and how it would carry out that work, was all in the mind of God before the world began. And as we study the scriptures, we can learn that we must worship God in spirit and truth, John 4:24. That means according to His stipulation, by the things that He has asked to be done. We notice in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16, that God gave the work that He wanted His church to do. And that is in the realm of evangelism, edification, and benevolence of needy saints. We also know that church is organized in a very simple way. Christ is the head of the church. He gave elders to be overseers, deacons who are servants to the church, members who are part of His family and part of the Lord's church are called saints, and then there are evangelists that proclaim and teach and edify brethren by teaching and preaching of God's word. That's a very simple organization. That's the way God designed it. It's a very simple worship in that we worship God by singing, according to Colossians 3:16, by praying according to Acts 2:42, by partaking of the Lord's Supper each Lord's Day according to Acts 20 and verse 7, and by taking up free will contribution of its own members according to 1 Corinthians 16:1 and 2, and by only preaching and teaching the pure simplicity of the Word of God, no more, no less, 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 through 5. Those are very simple, forthright instruction. They can all be found in God's Word. And so, when we look at in the Bible, the church was designed before the foundation of the Word was even laid. God's mind had envisioned that the church would be the means wherein God would save His children, that they would have fellowship with Him in that body, and that that body would one day be returned back to the Father, according to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24 through 26. And through prophecy, we know when it would be established. We know even what city it would be established. We know what message it would preach. And we know, according to prophecies of Daniel, that he would receive that kingdom when he went back to heaven after his work on earth was finished. Read Daniel 7, 13 and 14. And Daniel 2 clearly tells us that it is indestructible and that it will never be destroyed. And there will only be one king and he will rule on it forever until the time that he gives it back to the Father in the passage in Corinthians that we just mentioned. And so the Bible is very clear that the church was God's means of saving man. It would be the church that will be delivered back to the Father. It is the church that He died for. It is the church that He paid for with the blood that He shed on the cross, Calvary. And it is the church that is His body. It is the church that is His bride, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. And He is the Savior of that body, according to Ephesians 5, verse 23. And so you see, the Lord's church is important because it's part of God's eternal plan. It's how God determined to save men. Just like in the days of Noah, God chose an ark to save the faithful. And all those who entered the ark were saved when the oncoming flood destroyed the whole known earth. In the same manner, the church was the means wherein men would be saved in the New Testament time. And all those inside the church will be those who will be saved, and those who are outside will be rejected by God, just like those outside the ark were rejected in Genesis chapter 6 through 9. You see, the church is one of the sure foundation because it was determined by God before the world began. Dear listener, are you a member of that church? Are you a member of the church that was bought with the blood of Christ? Are you a member of the church that started on the day of Pentecost? Are you a member of a church that its head is Christ? And are you a member of a church that worships God in the way that the Scriptures describe and is organized in the way that the Scriptures design? Yes, the church is a sure foundation, one that can enhance our faith. And so we have a sure foundation of our faith, the Lord's church. And it is living and active today. And we hope that you will open up the pages of God's Word and you will see that you need to be a member of that church. Thank you for listening today. Please tune in again next week. Have a good day.